Miriam's story speaks to the links to the layers that are under how we define the conflict. And that's the what I perceive you are doing to me, or the interpersonal layer. Her story also shows, though, that as the resolution process itself unfolds, a greater layer of our own access to ourselves becomes available. Not just you or you and me together, but me all by myself and what's going on inside, what I bring to relation, what I carry around with me and bring to relationship. So that's our psychological makeup, the interpersonal and the intrapersonal. And yet, I think anything that helps us evolve or develop our psychological nature at the same time provides a context and a springboard for our spiritual development. And broadly by that, I mean the relationship between the small s self and the large s self, or we could also say between the ego slash personality and source, God, divine intelligence, by whatever name. And this, to me, is the potential and the potentially powerful third layer of the restorative circle process. When we're in conflict, we are instinctively in fear and at risk, and we are in our little self, even littler than the little self of our daily life, the small s self of our daily life. And our need to defend and make ourselves not bad is really cranked up. So out of this fear-based state, duality or polarization runs amok, and that's the good, bad, right, wrong, truth versus falsehood, and certainly victim versus perpetrator. The circle keepers or facilitators recognize the inevitability of this pull when we're in conflict, or for those of us who are in conflict, that desire to get to the bottom of what happened and assign some blame. When we're in conflict, we're in the grip of that energy. But the keepers, while recognizing this, don't deny it, and they don't demand that the participants give it up. The process, however, has an invitation and calls it just by its nature. It calls the participants to their higher selves. It doesn't fan the flames of shame and blame. It doesn't foster a good and bad, right and wrong perspective. There just isn't room for these things in the structure of the circle. And in part, that's because the process doesn't seek for an objective or absolute truth. There's a recognition that even if this were achievable, that we could all agree on the facts of what happened, that that actually is not what heals. If my self-preservation is founded upon disowning my shadow or my capacity to err, or if my being okay, it rests upon making you wrong or bad, then I am still at risk. I'm still as vulnerable to losing my precarious self-esteem, and I'm still fearful of the power that others have to influence my well-being. So, no, instead of looking at what happened or who's to blame or setting out with the goal of punishment or sanction, the circle process has the intent to hear what participants need to say about their experience and to accept that experience along with its attendant feelings. In so doing, all are honored for their unique and legitimate experience without elevating that experience to a position of absolute truth. So being right isn't required in order for my feelings to be validated. Being right isn't a prerequisite for being worthy, for being understood or cared for. And the other being wrong isn't what makes me safe. Instead of fact-finding, blame, shame, separating out, what the circle emphasizes, therefore, is compassion, common ground, respect, listening, witnessing. And all of these are offered as entitlements, not to be earned by being good or right. Through the compassion of the circle, one learns to embrace and soothe that little self, and then that self no longer needs to be frozen in victim or to be in control. people are assisted in accepting without shame what they think of inside themselves as bad. And thus there's a lessening of the need to project it outward. And as they are heard, they increase their capacity to hear the other, and in fact can afford to hear the other. For those of a Christian tradition, does this sound like Christ love? Not earned, not conditional, not in spite of, but rather for the essential self that is one with him and one with God. This potential is inherent in the restorative circle process, not in one circle perhaps, and not that the keepers are billing it that way, but by virtue of the values and the principles and the methodology of circles. By all of this, there is the potential to release that little one, or to release the hold of the personality on his or her position, and to release the one who acts the victim. And to release that and turn instead to embrace or favor the larger capital S self, powerful and able to withstand the what feels like the assault of criticism or complaint. So this process encourages the choice to identify with one's larger self. It recognizes that judgment keeps one identified with the ego or the little self, and with the ego suffering. And that's true whether that judgment is of oneself or of the other. So restorative circle processes, while helping people resolve the conflict between them and heal and return to some degree of harmony and to feel more courageous and solid and strong in themselves and to operate more happily in the framework of this life, while doing all of that and working on all of those levels, they are simultaneously inviting the undoing of the ego and its attachments to right and wrong and good and bad, what I've been calling duality. Because duality is of this plane and the human condition and has to do with the notion of separation. Duality is not a feature of oneness. Therefore, in the context of spiritual awakening, anything which assists us in loosening our attachment to separation is surely a spiritual process. Closing the gap between ourself and the other is relationally beneficial. It is a way to calm and to harmony and to peace. And so ultimately it can be thought of as a spiritual task. But I think circles have the potential to inch us towards this awakening, because with the experience of it, casting the other out becomes not an option. It's not a solution, and it's much harder to do. Choosing to identify with spirit or one's spiritual nature becomes much easier to do, partly because it can include the ego. We don't have to rise above or bypass the ego. And meanwhile, fear, which is another characteristic of duality, has been lessened, and courage and personal power has been increased. In dualistic thinking, by the way, fear, not hate, is the opposite of love. And so we have an environment in the circle which fosters love. And for those of the Christian tradition, I think Jesus is the model for this, and restorative circles are consistent with his teachings. So I leave those thoughts with you. I thank you so much for the opportunity to share them with you, and I hope that we will also meet some of you later for a small experience of what this might feel like. Thank you.